Good evening, fellow timekeepers. Welcome back. Happy New Year. It's 2025. We have done 12 episodes of our podcast. So we're calling that season one. So now 2025, it's season two. So you'll get another 12 episodes from us. Similar thing, but obviously a lot of it's going to be on YouTube now. We'll have interviews sort of every other month, every couple of months with people in the industry that, you know, we really like and think other people should know more about. And then it'll be Zach and ourselves talking about all the things we love about watches. So yeah, I mean, we had Zhi Wang last time, who was absolutely incredible with her artworks. I noticed on Instagram that she's actually drawn another image, and it's absolutely incredible. It's the Mirage by Bernerot, so do check that one out. I really love that watch, and it's great that she took the time to draw that. Another thing that I've got is I went a bit arty. So I'm, you know, obviously we all love the photos that we take from Instagram on our iPhones or whatnot. So I got some of my own blown up, as it were. So I've got this wonderful one here of the wildflowers with the orris there. I've got another one that's really close to my heart, just above me there, which is of my second son with the IWC pilot chronograph there. And I've also got another, I'll just get it. Oh, one of my favorite watches that I own, which is obviously the vintage tank that I have. I love the blue steel hands, and it's something that I really like, and it's something I wanted to have as merch to sort of show off. And we've got the timekeepers blown up there as an image, which I think is really cool. So yeah, that's what I've been doing. But Zach, how's life with you? How's 2025 treating you?
Sure. First of all, I love those images. Really nice, especially the one with your son. That's like just a lovely, touching photo. Yeah, forgive me if I do copy the idea, because I think it's a genius idea. Yeah, definitely. But yeah, 2025 has been good for me so far. I kind of feel like last year was a bit of a busy year, but I feel like now things are kind of in order, and there's lots of exciting plans coming up, and some of which you may hear. And I kind of feel like it's been an amazing year so far in terms of watches, watch events coming up, new things happening in the watch world, and yeah, and so on.
No, sounds great. Sounds great. We've got to resist the temptation of buying more watches. so doing this podcast, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Maybe we're speaking to other people, and that will somehow mean that we don't venture into watch shops and buy things, because that could be quite dangerous, couldn't it?
Exactly.
Maybe I have to consolidate some of my collection. There's a few things I quite like, AKA a Reverso, but we may touch on that in future episodes. But there we go. So we do a wrist check quickly. So Zach, what are you wearing on your wrist today?
Yeah, sure. I'm not too sure if I was wearing this last episode, but it's pretty much like fixed to my wrist. But again, it's my Rolex Oyster Perpetual, the reference 1500. I wear it a lot, but I've actually been wearing a lot of an Apple Watch. I don't know. I know, which is kind of controversial. So I've been going the odd one arm Rolex, or one arm, you know, have this mechanical watch and the other arm functional. But it's because I've dived deep into the kind of fitness world and running like everyone has. So yeah,
kind of nice.
How about yourself?
Double wristing, it's called. I do that as occasionally as well, but I only use it for fitness. I don't wear it all the time. So only when I go to the gym. But right. Yeah, it's just, I think.
Okay.
Cool. What about me? So I've got my vintage Omega that I have, that the one from World War II. So it's where is it? There we go. I don't know if we can see on the screen there. Maybe I'll just take it off, shall we? Let's just take it off. Hang on. There we go.
Wow. Lovely.
There we go. Has it worked out where it is? I don't know. There we go. So it's the one from 1943 with the blue steel hands, and it's, I think the reference is Omega 6B. 159. So there we go. It's the first watch that got me into all of this. It'll be what my firstborn son gets when he gets married or something. So yeah, very, very important and sentimental to me. So should we move to Watches We're Lusting After, which is a segment we always do. And sometimes they burn out after a couple of weeks and we talk about something else, and then sometimes they stick with us. So for me, back on the Cartier bandwagon, I can't really let it go. You know, she loves them as well. And yeah, just having that conversation made me be like, oh my gosh, I love them so much. Maybe I need more. But anyway, back on the bandwagon, did I ever leave? Probably not. So for me, it's a neo vintage Santos Dumont Thin. We talked about how much I don't really like the modern ones. So this is very much sort of 1990s sort of backwards. You know, I adore the bezel. It's sort of a screw-like sort of rivets. You know, it makes it look really industrial, but also sort of very chic. I've actually been really drawn to ones with a bracelet, and that includes the rivet detailing as well. And I never felt like that before. You know, Zach, others know that I really don't like bracelets, but for this one, I quite like it. It's sort of tapered. It's got really shapely lugs. It sort of lifts the backdrop, you know, of the watch itself. And it's sort of the case is quite stacked, which I like. Sort of makes it pop. I've seen a few on Chrono 24. And I've been sort of really tempted in a big way, really tempted, which again is dangerous. But so far, I've resisted that temptation. So, yeah, Zach, what about you? What have you lusting after this month?
Yeah, sure. First off, I think great option. I love this kind of vintage Cartier Dumont. It's another watch that I'd love to have as part of my collection. And especially, I think the gold case as well, it stands out to me. I think it looks super cool and contrasts with the dial super well. And then also, I kind of feel like, I think I'm with you. When it comes to bracelets, I think Cartier Dumont looks better on leather straps. And this is on a very classy kind of crocodile-esque black gloss strap. And I feel like that just looks brilliant. I also like kind of putting on a more colourful, playful strap as well. That kind of works as well. So yeah, great option, by the way. And for me, currently, my watch that I've been lusting over is something completely different in the field of watches. I was actually shopping the other day, or window shopping at least, killing some time before I was meeting up with my girlfriend in Westfields. And I walked past Swatch, and sometimes I go in, sometimes I don't. I actually went in this time and actually spoke to one of the lovely sales assistants. And they showed me for the first time, because I don't think I'd come across it, Blancpain and Swatch's collaboration, the Bioceramic Scuba 50 Fathoms collection. The kind of collection honors the first true diver's watch, the 50 Fathom, created 70 years ago by a passionate scuba diver. It's completely revolutionized watchmaking. By becoming the first timepiece that successfully met all the needs of underwater exploration. So that's really cool. And the very particular variant that I was after, because they do various different colours, is the kind of bio-ceramic Oceans of Storms, which is the black variant. A watch is super cool. I love the movement, the System 51. I know that was a big revelation when that came out, the System 51, and having one of the cheapest mechanical movement watches with Swatch. So I love that they have the Swatch's System 51 movement. This one kind of features an open case back, which is super cool for a watch that's super colourful and slightly lower in cost, or reasonably priced. And yeah, it features the bioceramic case. So that's the kind of watch that I'm kind of lusting over at the moment.
Nice. I know there'll be some listeners that don't like the Swatch collabs, but I love the Moon Swatch. Then venturing into other brands, maybe I'm not so sure, but it's just a fun, playful watch. People just have to get over themselves and not take it all too seriously. You know, if we talked about walking around London, sometimes it's safer just to walk around with the Moon Swatch, right? So, they're pretty nice. So, so we'll move away to talk about another thing that we do every month, and that's our Instagram shots of the month. So we go through and scroll our Instagram feeds, and we pick our favorite watches and we give a bit of a shout out. And obviously they get a bit of Timekeepers merch as well. So it's also the Timekeepers beer mat, which we'll send to the winner. But Zach, I think you're going first with some that you've picked out, and I've got my iPhone here. So yeah, you start talking about them and I'll start scrolling and having a look.
Absolutely. So the first shot of the month has to go to, well, for me, Collector Skyline and on Instagram. And this kind of shot features a vintage Piaget. I think we've kind of mentioned those and like their various different stone dials and how much we like them. This is a reference 9200 malachite dial, and also the background of the watch features some sort of malachite-esque like pattern, which is kind of hypnotic which is quite cool. As you scroll through,
it almost looks alive. It's like it's bubbling away. It's really cool.
Exactly. So it's a super cool background. I believe it was up for sale. So I'm not sure. That was a day ago. So I'm not too sure if they found a buyer. Mm. I would love to be a buyer, but quite frankly, I don't think I'm there yet.
Loving the strap, actually. The strap looks really cool. And the strap, it's the same border, isn't it? It's the same material, I think. The inner border of the watch is the same as the strap. I don't know what material it is, but it looks really nice.
Super interesting.
Cool. And you've got another one, haven't you?
Yes, I do. I do indeed. So my second one is slightly different, slightly less colourful than the Piaget. And that is a shot by Goldfinger's Vintage. And that it features a 1940s Movado. I feel like Movado have great vintage watches that I kind of slept on. This Movado is the M90 reference 19008. The watch is kind of shot on, I'm not too sure what it is, to be honest. Maybe you know, Tim, but it seems to be some sort of paperwork with Japanese writing. It seems to be like a bit of a messy kind of desk with the watch kind of propped in the middle. There's also shades on the desk, so it's quite a cool kind of original setup. And I think the watch is just a beautiful watch featuring the Breguet dials, and I know how much of a fan you are of the Breguet dials, Tim. And also the blue hands that contrast really well across that kind of patina dial. So yeah, great shot and a great vintage watch as well that you don't really see quite often.
Yeah, I really like it. It's a bit of a sleeper brand, you're right. The numerals are great. I love blue steeled hands, and they've got the blue steel on the sub dials. And if you zoom in, it's got the second track on the right hand side.
Oh yeah.
It's got like a little squiggle. The hand is like a squiggle, like a little snake, a little squiggle. Yeah. And I love that. I love those small little details. The blue steel hands are incredible, but then the blue steel ones for this sub dial is really cool. And also I love the little pushers. That's how pushers should be on the side. Yeah. So, and is it a bead of rice, sort of bracelet as well? I'm not too sure. Again, I'm not a bracelet guy, but I think it looks pretty cool. So yeah. Good choice for those. So I always have three, don't I, Zach?
Do
you know what I've got now? I've got five. Wow. So this segment may take a bit longer, but I'm going to rush through them because some of them are left over from Christmas. So a mini shout out from November's Watches and Pastries Week. So obviously, I thought that was really great by the three gentlemen that did it. But this one is 316 watches, and it's their Tudor FXD, and it's very mucky. So again, people could have got their watches mucky, but they don't like doing it. But this guy just went straight in, and it's with the jam donut, and it's got all the ooze of the jam going all over it. And it's almost like the FXD burst out of it, almost like alien style. I wouldn't be so brave to do that with my collection. But yeah, well done. I had to mention it because I think it's really cool. Another shot I liked is a watch I almost bought instead of the Oris Big Crown Pointer Date. And this is another bronze watch from Oris. I like the black dial. And I also like the rather pricey canvas strap. But I looked into getting it for the Pointer Date, and it's just not worth it. But I think it's really cool. But it's not the watch this time that I really like. It's rather the shot. It's with the lighting effect, and it makes it a great capture. It's really great. It gives its own kind of spotlight. So it's all black. If you flash it up on screen, it's all black around the edges, like pitch black. And then it's just like the light shining on that watch, just capturing it all. It's really incredible. And that's by Macro Rollerez. So well done to them. But sort of moving forward to the other three I want to spend a bit more time on, there's a Christmassy feel to my remaining selection, because obviously we are reviewing December after all. So Guilty Dials, obviously a pun there. I think it's a great name. I haven't come across it before, so do check them out. But Guilty Dials is very cool. And he's placed his Rolex GMT over the stem of a Moet bottle with Christmas lights in the background. It gives you that like bokeh effect that you get with your iPhone or whatnot. I think it's pretty neat if you ask me. So shout out to them. Another well-named Insta handle is the Night's Watch. So for all those Game of Thrones fans, there's a pun there. And it's the Omega Seamaster 300M. And it's sort of across an open book, again, using Christmas lights as a bokeh effect in the background. So really enjoyed that one. And the final one for me is a sort of, you know, a greater known Insta handle, and that's moonphase.fr, which obviously France, and it's sort of their sterling attempt at creating a Christmas tree out of their watches. I think few people have tried this, hats off to them. But this was the first one I saw on the 8th of December. So it's like I said, it's the earliest one. So I've got to give credit there. They're using Speedmasters to do it. Plus it's got a Holiday Inn room key saying NASA Houston, Texas. And that sort of tipped over the edge for me, you know, with the Speedmaster and NASA. So I don't know, Zach, which one of those five do you like the most before we're going to do a sort of Insta shot of the year. So we picked obviously one for over the last 12 months that we really, really liked. So what about those five, Zach? Which one do you like? Which one do you like the most?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like it's a perfect array. I know there's five, and I was like, oh my goodness, he's got five. But I think fair enough. I love that shot with the jam, the Tudor and the kind of jam donut. Slightly makes me a bit hungry. But yeah, great. A great effort there. Also, I kind of loved like how you've kind of looked at like the Christmas theme and seeing a lot of creativity with it. So I think out of the bunch, it's pretty hard to kind of pick one. I think the kind of Rolex Pepsi on the Moe bottle is pretty bougie. So that's quite cool. But the Christmas tree, I think, that you kind of like ended with as well, I think is an awesome shot and well thought out. I like they've kind of intertwined everything. I like that it's a Christmas tree, like the Holiday Inn, NASA, Houston, Texas, like the referencing as well. So I think that's a great effort. Plus taking all those watches off the straps or bracelets, that takes a lot of effort. So congrats.
Yeah, I'd be still there putting them back on again. I can't get the bracelet on my Omega anymore. I don't have the knack for it. It drives me bonkers. Another reason why I do not like bracelets. So there we go. So do you want to pick your one of 12 months?
Sure. Sure. I think we've had many great ones and this has been like a kind of a great category to the pod. Kind of exploring and looking through our favorite shots. It's definitely pushed me. I think Tim's really been creative, but it's definitely pushed me to have more of a creative look at things when it comes to watches. For me, it would have to be, I think it was one of Tim's from an earlier episode. Shout out to Watchby on Instagram, and it was the Tudor FXD. And I believe it was a wrist shot in the desert. And I think that definitely tipped it for me for 2025. I mean, the location, the clarity of the shot as well, kind of like the sand being like an effective background. So yeah, definitely the shot for me. How about you, Tim? What was the shot for you? What stood out?
Yeah, that one came really close. I love the sand. It really popped and made the watch sort of even greater than it already is. It was really, really good. So for me, I'm going to butcher the pronunciation because I just don't know how to say it. So it's Ottois Watches, and it's his sort of 12-hour slice collage of different watches. So again, you've got your 1 to 12, and like each segment had a different watch, and it was, like I said, it was like a collage style. It's incredible. I would love to recreate that watch shot with my collection or watches I really, really like. And for me, I haven't seen anything like it since. So maybe I'll spend some time if I have any free time with kids running around to actually try and replicate that. So hats off to them. So for me, that was the 2024 sort of like watch shot of the year for me. So congrats. And we talked about the joyous beer mats. So the winner of this month and then the winner of this year will flog you some beer mats. So we'll reach out to you and hopefully you accept one. So what are we on to next? We're doing another sort of mini segment. I've listened to lots of sort of watch podcasts in January, and they do a lot of like predictions. We're not going to do predictions because I respect other podcasts and what they're doing. But I think it's more what we'd like to see from watch brands. So I'm just going to reel off a few watch brands and what I'd like to see, and then Zach, you sort of chip in or we can talk about it. Just something to kick off the year. So we'll keep it short and sweet, and like I said, selected a number of brands. But I think the overarching thing for me is what I want in 2025 is this plea for more customization from the consumer. And what I mean by that is, let's say you've got a watch that you really like, but you want it in a different color, or you want it with, like, I don't know, a different crown or, I don't know, different strap, whatever. There should be more opportunities, I think, to do that. I think it'd be really cool. And that sort of links me to Cartier, and that is the coloured, you know, cabochon for the masses. So I will die on this hill, like we were talking to G. Give me a green one. Give me a red one. I want a purple one. I know for the exclusive higher ups that can afford, the higher ranges, you can do this custom things. But it's just a tint of colour, right? It can't be too hard to do. And it would make you stand out if you had a green one or a red one or whatever. So for me, customization, Cartier, give me cabochon colours. Give it to me now. I don't know, is that what you think about that one? Maybe it's just me and G.
Yeah, no, I think you and G are definitely right. And I know you've been driving that green cabochon. So anyone in Cartier, I hope you're listening. I think that would be cool, though, to see a bit of kind of customization from the consumer. I feel like that would be quite a good way to kind of attract more kind of watch enthusiasts, as well as doing something slightly different. So totally with you with that one.
Yeah, well, you can do it with a car, right? You know, if you want your custom stereo, or like you want different alloys, or like you want the light package, you know what I mean? Like, just make it customizable. Yeah. Like loads of things in life, you know. I think they're really cool.
Specking your Cartier sounds cool. Sounds very
exactly. And what we haven't mentioned is we are on TikTok, and it's not banned yet, obviously. And Zach's doing a great job with that. So you can snap that up and box it up and say cabochon for the masses for that one. So I have to do it in French, so Cartier listening. But I'll practice my French for that. So cool. And then going to pivot to Omega. I think more dial colours, because they're still quite conservative. I mean, I've also got the Summer Blue Seamaster. That was, I think, I bought it. I thought I was in love with it. But they should do more like that. I know they released, a new Speedmaster recently with some great dials, which we'll talk about next month. But keep the dial colours coming. I don't know, for Omega, is there anything you particularly want to see in 2025?
I don't think there's anything notable. I agree with your notion, but there's nothing like that stands out for me that I'd like to see different of Omega, to be honest with you, currently.
Yeah, they're sort of smashing it anyway, really. They're doing a great job.
Very good.
Their latest release with the Meteorite dials are just, out of this world. The price is out of this world as well.
I think you sent that over and I was like, wow. Yeah, incredible.
Incredible. Pivot quickly to Rolex. Again, not a brand I'm in love with, but obviously lots of people are, and that's absolutely fine. I want a vintage Milgauss style watch with the lightning bolt secondhand, please. They cost like $250,000. Again, silly money. And then the Milgauss they released obviously a couple of years ago, decades ago. It's not the best looking, although it does have the really cool secondhand. But if they're going to release anything, let's dip in to the Milgauss at the vintage and bring it back. I would buy that in a heartbeat, and I'm not a Rolex guy. Zach, anything on Rolex for you? Anything you want to see?
I think there's been slight innovation with Rolex. So I think if Rolex continue to push that envelope with kind of like not sticking with conservative kind of their usual conservative designs. So yeah.
Good luck with that.
With these kind of brands like Rolex, Patek, I know I don't really see much happening, but I mean, it would be nice if anyone's listening from Rolex. It would be nice.
No, definitely. And I've got one for IWC. They've done case materials to death, and I like it, right? But they're getting a bit crazy. They need to sort of rein it in a little bit. And similar for dial colors, I want thinner watches from them. I know it's a chronograph, but not everyone can wear them because they are just too big. I think the 41's great, and obviously I have one of those. But if they could just shrink it a little bit more for some of their watches, in terms of thickness, not so much like the width or the length, but it's the thickness of the things can be a bit over the top. So if they're playing around with case materials, let's just try and get a thinner watch, please. That'd be great. Panerai, same thing, smaller watches. I would love a Panerai, but they look silly unless you're like, you know, ginormous and got a huge wrist. I know they've got like a female version, but again, they're more dedicated towards the female market. So, you know, men aren't going to necessarily really want them, but if they can make smaller watches, that would be really good. To Patek, other podcasts have mentioned this, and I thought it was a good idea. So for what it's worth, I'm throwing the same 2 cents in. I think, in inverted commas, affordable entry-level model perhaps modeled on the Calatrava. I would love a Calatrava, but you know, yes, you aspire to a Patek, and not everyone can have a Patek for obvious reasons. But if they were to bring in something new for, I don't want to say the mass market because that's insane, they would never do that, but just something that's a bit more attainable, you know, doesn't have to be over the top, doesn't have to be a complicated watch. They've got history, they can dive into the archives and bring something out. So I think for me, let's have an entry level, like I said, inverted commas, Calatrava. Jaeger, a rethink on their pricing, please. I know we don't talk about pricing on this pod, but are they really worth the price rise a couple of years ago? I love them to death, but they're just really not. They've started to do it with the Reverso. It went down in price a little bit, but it's not like it used to be. It is really hard to justify. So perhaps they thought about it once, so let them think about it twice. I don't know, Zach, about those couple I've just mentioned. We've got IWC, Panerai, Patek, Jaeger. Anything you want to add up with those?
Yeah, absolutely. I kind of feel like IWC, same kind of notion. I think Finna watches would kind of make sense with my wrist being on a slightly smaller side. Panerai, slightly similar with the kind of sizing kind of issue. But I do realize that I did kind of see how they've kind of made an effort to make more slimmer profile watches. And I guess like when I visited the kind of boutique on Bond Street, that did kind of help a bit. But I think, yeah, I think you're right with the sizing. If they made slightly smaller watches, that will definitely kind of tick the box, especially those who are kind of interested in more vintage kind of aesthetics. Patek and affordable. I'm not too sure if that goes together, but
yeah, I'm dreaming.
Yeah. It's a bit of a stab in the dark, but I think definitely that would be quite cool, especially getting younger people into Patek. It could be a good idea to kind of have a look at that kind of entry level kind of a piece as well. As well as I feel like Calatravas aren't really, they're popular for those who kind of know about watches, but I kind of feel like the 5711 and Nautilus have kind of drowned out kind of some of the more iconic and more kind of understated kind of models. So it would be good to kind of see something kind of more reasonably priced for the Calatrava. But like I said, it's Patek, so I don't know if that's ever going to happen.
No, it's probably a thanks, but no thanks. Or they're not even listening, because let's face it, you know, they're catering to a higher echelon of a bank account, aren't they?
Exactly. They know their market, so yeah, it's probably going to fly over their heads. And then the JLC, I think the pricing point, I think they're quite dear when it comes to pricing, so it would be good to see a kind of correction with that. And Tudor, I'm not sure if we've spoke about that just yet.
No, not yet, but go for it.
I think with Tudor, I don't think they're doing much wrong. Like Omega, I don't think there's anything that I can kind of mention. There's been a few new models. I kind of like the existing ones prior. I like the different colorways. The sizing is perfect as well. Having had a Black Bay before and sold, and we just literally spoke about that, Tim, didn't we? Having sold that and thinking, oh, was that a mistake? Probably was. Yeah. But yeah, totally on board with Tudor. How about you? Is there anything new that you'd like to see from them, Tim?
Yeah, when we started this pod, I think it was episode one or two or something, we did Tudor, and I talked about sort of the crown guards they have. So it's basically you've got the crown, and then you've got like a gap in the middle when you open it, and then obviously you close it. Mm-hmm. And in the original Black Bay, when they revamped it, that is, you know, a decade ago now, or maybe less, with a slightly larger Black Bay, so not the 58, the original ones, they had like these sort of rubber guards that you got them in like blue, black and red. I really like that. And then it disappeared on the 58. I know that was probably just to make it stand out a bit more, but I want those to come back and have them on almost all the watches. Again, it goes back to the customization. I'd love to be able to select, you know, what sort of, you know, crown guard I wanted in terms of color. You know, I love the little red triangle, obviously on the Black Bay 58, you know, and I think if you could get the red crown guard with that, that would be really cool. So that's probably it for me. Are there any other brands? I've sort of exhausted what I want to say on that, Zach, but I don't know if there are other brands that we haven't touched on that you would like to see them do something in 2025.
I don't think there's any other brands that pop up in my mind in terms of wanting to see them do anything different. I think we've kind of covered the kind of main ones. The main ones that I had in mind. Cool. Yeah, but I totally agree with the Tudor. That would be kind of like a nice nod to the to the original, having something like that, like a little quirk. And I know that Tudor are quite good at that. They've added different things like Tudor roses to like some crowns and whatnot. So I think that would be quite a nice piece. Yeah.
Yeah, and the shield. Shield's nice. Yeah, I like the traditional rose as well. Yeah. But like listeners, watchers, you know, on like I said, we're on YouTube now. So please tell us in the comments, you know, what would you like to see in 2025? And hopefully collectively we can get our wish when they do it the following year. Cool. So we'll pivot away and we're going to do our deep dive and it's going to be on Tag Heuer, a brand that I haven't been always sort of in love with. It's sort of grown on me recently, particularly on vintage. A few months ago, I was caught sort of stone dead by the famous Instagram influencer. We can go with influencer because I think he definitely is. Watch Studies, and that was his 2024 purchase of the Heuer reissue. And I'm going to do the reference at CS3113. It's got, and we'll flash it up on screen. It's got this gorgeous black dial with sort of white ringed sub dials, so clear, so legible, and including sort of the white timing hands plus the classic sort of style of the pushers. I was hooked for weeks on that watch. I even looked to see if I could buy one. It was that like, oh my gosh, moment. He's got a great version of it. It's really, really beautiful. That sort of bled out of me. I fell back in love with other watches, but never say never. I think for the price point of that watch, sort of being like near vintage, I think it's really cool. But then equally, a grail watch for me is the collaboration that Heuer did in the 1960s with Abercrombie & Fitch. And we talked about it again very early on in this podcast, and I mentioned it so many times since, but it is incredible. It's the legendary Seafarer, with its sort of aqua, sort of marine blue-green motif, with the triangle indices, the we'll flash it up on screen because no matter what I say, it's never going to justify and show how beautiful this watch is. And it's got, the lume on the hands as well as the more prominent tidal sub-dial. These sell for crazy money, crazy, crazy money. But there you go. But they are absolutely beautiful. There is a Canadian chap, I've forgotten his handle now. I think it's Maple Watches. Mm-hmm. And he bought one last year and he's got this exquisite sort of version of it. Again, we'll flash it up on screen so you can see. So, beautiful. And I know they recently redid it, didn't they, Zach? They paid a homage with Hodinkee. I like that too, but it's not a vintage piece, is it? But it's definitely a lot more affordable than the vintage ones. Zach, what vintage pieces do you like? And do you like the ones that I've mentioned?
Yeah, definitely. So first, I like the Heuer Otavia. I think it first came to my attention when I came across Oro Bax. Most people know who he is and how notable he is within the kind of vintage watch scene and auctioneers in the auction industry. And he sits down with Phillips and he discusses his early life. And I think one of his first watches were the Heuer Otavia, and that's what kind of got me kind of fixated on them, definitely. There's a few standout references for me, and that's the reference 113603, which is like the black PVD kind of version or model of the Otavia. And then, although the only thing about the PVD I forgot to mention is the size. The size is slightly large, so it's a 42 millimeter, which is kind of borderline, to be honest, for me. But I probably prefer kind of like the smaller size. The other is the nickname is Big Orange or Orange Boy. Kind of an interesting name, Orange Boy nickname. But it features kind of like the orange third hand, hence the name. And it's a reference 1163, another great watch. And I think it's a very highly collectible piece as well. And I feel like it has a perfect color combination. Out of the ones you've mentioned, I'm a big fan of that Abercrombie Fitch collab. It's a super classy watch and it's great for formal occasions, And I'm a big fan of, I believe, the pushers on it. Just double checking, having a look. I'm a big fan of the pushers, and you kind of mentioned pushers being an interesting kind of addition to a watch.
So it's got the pushers. Yeah.
And then also you mentioned the CS 3113. So I definitely had a look at that also. That is a great looking watch.
It's perfect, right?
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of the kind of like black Patrizzi Dal Rolex Daytona, but I feel like it looks way more sleek and smooth.
Subtler.
Yeah, definitely subtler. And if you have this on, I kind of feel like I'm not too sure if I've seen many people with this particular model on. And also, I think I saw a model, as well as the one you sent me, I saw a model with a perforated strap, and I feel like it just ties it together with Huya's kind of racing history. And also the looks of the watch, the kind of ruggedness of a perforated strap, and then the kind of smooth dial and case of that Huya. So those are, yeah, great choices.
Yeah, I think it's quite a manly watch as well. Like we talked about the Black Bay 58, and you could like wear it anywhere. You know, it's like a rugged watch. For this, it's, you know, you could use it. I think it's just brilliant. I'm getting tempted again, Zach. Maybe my what am I lusting after is going to come back to this one.
It's dangerous.
Exactly. Cool. So what else have we got here? So we talked about watch studies, watch as well. We talked about the Seafarer. Should we look more at the modern watches? So we've got Carrera. Obviously, I know they've got vintage as well, but it's a classic watch. I really like the green versions. There are multiple that they've released in recent years. There's a 2021 version with an unsport dial, complete with sub-seconds, keeping the symmetry, which is what I love. And it's also got like a retro sort of fun Huya buckle, which I think is a neat nod to the past. I sent it through to you, Zach. I don't know what you think of this one. But it's we'll flash it up on screen, but I've got it on my phone here as well. So this one here. So I think that's really cool. And then there's another green one that really caught my eye. Half caught my eye, if such a thing exists. There's a deep, almost swirling sort of dark forest green in one of their recent releases. And it's on a single sub dial to the right. And the technical term for it is called circular brushed motion. So there we go. It's ruined. And I'm going to say again, it's ruined by the random date window on the left. Date window should be banned. All date windows should be banned. Yeah. Unless it's the roulette wheel on a vintage Rolex. But there you go. But I'd love to see a clean version, a sort of clean dial. Again, Zach, I don't know if we've got the image.
I definitely like those tones of green, and having a look at that first one. Yeah, I think it's way more symmetrical, I guess, with the three kind of sub dials, and I could kind of see like the kind of similar design language, right?
The pushers are good. But the date window, what are they doing?
Problematic.
And then we didn't talk about this for vintage. They relaunched the Skipper. And it's for similar reasons that I love the A&F Vintage Classic, you know, absolutely loving the deep blue dial mixed with the eye-popping sort of orangey red. It's tempered by this various greens. It's the same orange that's on the sub-second dial too. Again, we'll flash it on screen, but I love the pushers. And there we go, look. It's cool.
It's a great looking.
I really like it. And yeah, there is a date, but it's at the bottom, so that's kind of less offensive for me. So yeah, I really like this watch, actually. I like it a lot. And if you can see the like I said, it's got the orange in the sub-seconds as well, which I think is a really sort of neat touch. It's really cool. I like it. Zach, what about you? What do you like about the Carrera or not?
Just off that last one you kind of mentioned, like I love the kind of like vintage kind of feel, like with the colours, like the green, like you said, in the second kind of window, the orange third hand. I feel like the combinations of colours work super well.
When it
comes to those. The Carrera as a whole, I think it's a great watch, great advance in-house movement in the Carreras, so that's also good. I think there's an 80-hour power reserve, which is pretty impressive. I love like the kind of nod to kind of like automotive history. So like the strong collaborations they had with Porsche And also their racing inspired designs. You can kind of see that in the kind of last one you mentioned, almost it kind of emulating the dials like within a car as well. Also the exclusive models, like you've mentioned, you've gone through some of them as well. So exclusive models are really interesting to me, like the Watches of Switzerland centenary piece was super interesting. And has a super appeal, especially for those who want to collect as well. The issue on my side is probably the price point of some of the Carreras, which make it a kind of tricky option when selecting a new watch, and also some of the cases I kind of feel are slightly on the bulky side. So those are kind of two kind of things I'd say about it. But all in all, I kind of feel like they've done well with the Carrera. And there's definitely reasons to buy, more reasons to buy than not to buy.
Yeah, buy a vintage one.
Yeah.
more value in it.
100% value way to go, though. Yeah.
Nice. Okay, and then we'll sort of round it out, because it's short and sweet as well. The Monaco. So, interesting. I've never been a fan of the square watch. I do think it's quite big and bulky. But then a few years ago, maybe even like last year or 2 years ago, Tag Heuer released one with a skeleton dial and an open case back. And you know what? I was pretty impressed because it's the colours. There's a particular one. There's the Miami, I call it Miami green. It's almost this turquoise colour. Or even, I'm going to say, Mercedes Petronas green from IWC's Chronograph 41. And IWC have released a variant on that as well. But we can talk about that in the next episode of sort of Watch News. But it's on the sub dials, you know, this sort of green, and then it's on the main hands. And for me, it's almost got like spider-like legs that go across the skeleton frame. We'll flash it up, but just on my phone here, where's it gone? Here we go. I love that. I think that's really cool. There's so much going on. Like I said, it's like a little spider. There's more sort of low-key colors, but they've also got a hot pink version, which I think is just super cool. I don't know where or when you'd wear it, but I kind of love it. But what is the sticking point? It's the price. Again, not going to say what it is, but it is silly money for a Monaco watch. I do like the open case back though as well, but I don't know what they're playing at with price. A bit like JJ, rethink on the price. You might get a few more sales. But yeah, Zach, what do you think about the Monaco?
Yeah, definitely. I kind of had a look at that Monaco that you sent over, and yeah, really nice to see what they're doing with some of the colours. I would say I'm more of a vintage kind of Monaco fan. I know you said you didn't really feel that the Monaco or the vintage Monaco was quite compelling for you, or not as of interest, but I actually quite like the vintage Monaco quite a lot.
Of course.
The square design is truly iconic and bold, stands out in that era. So I like what they're doing with this kind of new piece as well. And with the colours, I guess it's kind of interesting. And I think with that kind of playfulness, it can kind of invite a different market. So that's also good, I guess, for the brand. The Monaco is also quite interesting, I guess, because of its association with Steve McQueen, which kind of adds a different layer of intrigue to those kind of getting into watches or looking into Tag Heuer as a brand as well. Another thing that I love probably about this newer piece as well is kind of how they kept the kind of base, the same basis or the same design language as the vintage, but they've tried to upgrade and innovate. So I definitely like that they've taken some risks of pushing that kind of design envelope out. And yeah, I think it's been quite rewarding, but I think you've definitely mentioned something else that's quite important point, and that's price point. And I think that the price point is a bit of a tricky one, but love what they're doing as a whole, though, I must say.
Yeah, I think again it goes back vintage, there's more value in it, I think, also depending on the watch. Just sticking with the Monaco, they did like a Gulf Oil collaboration, I think, as a vintage or near vintage, which I kind of like, because I like those colors. Again, it reminds me of Formula One. Yeah, that's all good. Any more to say on Tag Heuer? I think we've come to the end, haven't we?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think we have.
Yeah, cool. Well, I think you're going to take it away with the outro, and I think you're going to tease a bit for what we've got in 2025 as well for interviews and stuff. So it's like over to you.
Absolutely. And just like that, we've come to a close. This has been our 13th episode of The Timekeepers. So thanks for keeping time with us. Next month, we'll be interviewing a YouTube sensation. Watch yourself, George.
I love that.
Yeah, exactly. You can find him at Watch Yourself George ahead of that on Instagram. So stay tuned for that. That's going to be a very exciting episode. If there's any subjects also that you want us to cover, let us know. As Tim mentioned, we are on YouTube, so drop us a comment on YouTube or drop us a DM on Instagram. We'd love to kind of hear your thoughts. Other than that, it's goodbye for myself, Zach, at Source Watches.
Yes, goodbye for me at Watchword. Yeah. Thank you for listening.